This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about cyber attacks. There's a lot of things that can disrupt the infrastructure, we'll say. A lot of things to worry about. You know, people think about, oh, what if the dollar collapsed, the economy run on oil, you know, the dollar collapses, even political unrest, you know, all kinds of things, riots, all kinds of things. But a very real threat that is constantly at America's door is cyber attacks. And people don't realize they become so prevalent that you don't even like hear about them because they're just, I don't know if the government doesn't want to overwhelm you and terrify people or if it's just so commonplace that it doesn't even, you know, register anymore. They're like, oh yeah, computer virus. Yeah, we had those. I don't know if you guys heard, but I mean, recently we had stuff, but governments are always trying to screw with other governments. It's honestly part of modern warfare. And, you know, you guys remember we did an episode way back on Vault 7. You know, we're always creating stuff and looking at ways to mess with other people. We went after Iran and we messed with their nuclear power program. Well, it turns out we're not the only ones doing that. And actually, Russia and China are both very big on having cyber warfare programs. And they're not afraid. And somehow, it's not considered like an open attack. I think it goes to like plausible deniability. But like if you, you know, have your Russian soldier sneak over the border and shoot two guys, oh, that's a big deal. Oh, Russia, they invaded us. We got to go deal with them. But if they shut down our power grid for 4 hours and people die on life support because they're, you know, things weren't working properly or whatever, then we're like, oh, yeah, it was a virus, you know, that those things happen. Right. It's weird how we have a different mindset and we let things, you know. But I mean, right. I don't know. Like, what is a computer virus? What is, I mean, we all know it disrupts things. It, you know, it shuts down power grids, but where's it all come from?
Well, I mean, it's computer viruses have been around almost as long as computers have. Viruses, worms, things like that. Now, worms are different than viruses.
Okay.
But they're really similar. It's almost the same thing. Now, the first computer virus was the rabbit virus. And it got the name, that was 1974. And it got its name because it was spreading so fast. But then right in 1975, or I'm sorry, 1971 was the first computer worm. And that was called Creeper. And it was just some nerd wondering if he could make a reproducing, you know, reproducing program that would reproduce stuff. And he did it in a controlled place. And, you know, it said basically it just popped up on computer, on people's screens. I'm the Creeper. Catch me if you can. And then he wrote a program called Reaper that went through and just deleted all of the Creeper just because he wanted to see if he could. But that, you know, that and 1975, a worm called Animal, well, it was a game called Animal where you, the computer would ask you yes and no questions and it would guess what animal you're thinking of. But somebody added a program to that game called Pervade. And that was the first worm. That was 1975. And what it did basically is it connected to any, you know, to any network, and it would add the animal game to every file in that computer. And back in 1975, there were only like 4,000 people on the internet in 1975, so it was really limited. But there were things like, you know, libraries that had massive amounts of files on them, and it just kept adding this game to every file that was created, and it took a while to get that worked out. And that was
right.
Really,
and obviously people didn't have a lot of memory. Right. People didn't have a lot of memory. That's one of the biggest things with early viruses was you had all these things taking over people's computer, but it basically ended up locking up and shutting people's computers down because it's so busy trying to run virus programs that, you know, that's why people say, oh, malware slows down my computer. That's the idea, is because it's doing all this stuff in the background. And at the same time, you know,
right.
at the same time,
you can't use your computer
normal
for anything
programs
already overrun with other stuff. Now, some of the viruses do things like just copy bad code over top of your existing software. Some of it, you know, some of it creates pathways from network to network so that, you know, basically adding backdoors to computers. So in other words, that, you know, you could load it onto one computer and they would load it onto another computer and this file would just run in the background having a opening so that anybody that knew how to do it could go into that computer, log on, and without a password or a username or anything, they could just go in and operate like an engineer operating on your software, collecting any data you want or, you know, doing anything else they want to do.
Right.
So, you know, a big thing is with your own personal information is changing your password frequently enough and don't have the same password and username for all your different stuff, you know, because if they get into one, you know, say they get into your Facebook account, they can see your name and they can find your password and then they can just go to any of your other, you know, any of your other social media or anything like that and try that same password on it. You
right.
know, they're getting
including
your
bank
accounts,
your
bank accounts, your, you know, who do you owe money to? Who are you paying bills to? You know, all sorts of information about you. They can figure it out and start opening credit cards and do whatever they want, you know, just from finding, say, your Facebook password. So you have to have different, you know, passwords for all your different accounts. And that's one way to keep, you know, keep your shit pretty safe. All right. So let's go on a little bit further to 2005 and 2000, between 2005, 2010, Stuxnet came out. Now Stuxnet started being developed in 2005 and it's not clear when it started operating, but it was discovered in 2010. And basically what it was doing was it was created by the US and Israel in a like a co-authorship, if you want, of the virus. You know, they work together using each other's information to figure out how to set this up and how to infect the computers.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting because Iran's nuclear system was running on a Windows program. So they were able to use backdoors from Windows to get into their program. And basically by the time they, you know, were able to stop it, it had infected 200,000 different computers, and it had damaged over 1,000 pieces of equipment. And what that was it was telling like centrifuges and things like that to run faster than, you know, you would turn it on, but then you would lose control of the speed, and it would just keep ramping up and ramping up until it blew itself apart. And, you know, it was doing things like that. It was malicious code that was causing the equipment to operate in a way that it would damage itself.
Now, foreign governments would never do anything malicious, though, so that's kind of weird, because I thought peace, love, and happiness, and we're all just trying to get along. I keep hearing it from my government that everyone's just trying to do the best they can, and, you know, it's only because we're evil and...
ourselves, man, trying to do the best for our people, and we're not interested in fucking up with other countries, but that's not the case.
All right.
So the next big one after that was the WannaCry virus. Do you remember that, Chuck?
When
they basically were encrypting people's data. It would encrypt the data and then demand a ransom in Bitcoin to unlock it. And
now they had whole municipalities and things like that everywhere. There were a lot of townships and stuff that actually even paid the ransom.
And there were a lot of even personal users that said, well, $300 in Bitcoin is a lot cheaper than buying a new computer and, you know, losing everything I have on this computer. You know, people that were like, say, writing books or keeping financial records for a company, it was worth that $300.
Well, I mean, think how long it takes to build up a porn collection.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't just go back and do that right away.
Yeah, all my manga, anime, naked girls, you know, I had ordered all my wafu pillows. You know the wafu pillows are like that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
They're like anime girls, but it's a pillow. So you can pretend, you can hump the pillow and pretend you're like you're having sex with a cartoon.
I got that part. It's the rest of it.
Right. So you watch anime all your entire life and you're
really, I've never even heard of this.
Interested in, and you just beat off two cartoons.
I got those two nailed.
Right. Well, you have to also never go outside and be a virgin. Those are two prerequisites.
Okay.
Right. And then you pick out your favorite cartoon.
Well, I got the fat girl, part. Like I mean, Sailor I drink
Moon
beer.
Or whatever the fuck people watch. I don't know anymore.
And Sailor Moon is our extent of
yeah, that's my whole anime knowledge. But then so then you get a pillow shaped like this cartoon, and then it can sleep in the bed with you like you have a real girlfriend.
That sounds very comforting.
Yep.
No, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Now, can I be like, hey, like, you know, 6 foot or whatever, and have one that's the appropriate height, and or are they all like 4 foot?
No, once you get beyond the pillow, you have to go like all the way up to like the $4,000 or $5,000 sex robots that they're making now.
Oh, all right. Now I've heard of that kind of thing, but yeah, I didn't know there was anime pillows.
Yeah, and that's for the poor perverts. You know, the ones that can't afford
the
big ones. Anyway, we're getting carried away. But this
we did
is related.
Get kind of off task. Oh, is it?
Because it is related, yeah. Because the WannaCry virus was developed by the same people that developed the Wafu pillow.
Really?
The Koreans did it. Yeah, so...
A lot of it's making more sense now.
Yeah, so the Lazarus group was the group that was identified as being the one behind the WannaCry virus attack. But they don't really know who the Lazarus group is. It's also called Zinc and Hidden Cobra are other names for that
Hidden
group.
Hidden Cobra, that's now, a fun name.
Yeah, now all the code was written in Korean and it probably originated from Pyongyang, North Korea. It's the same group that was responsible for the 2014 attack on Sony Pictures. Remember when Sony was making that movie with
yes,
the fuck is that guy? Seth Rogen and
James
Franco.
Yes, the where they go in and they be friends with the head of North Korea and then kill him, right, or something. Yeah.
Yes, so they found that and they basically.
That was an entertaining movie. I found humor in it.
It was good. I liked it. Yeah. But basically, they heard that movie was coming out and they basically tracked it down inside Sony Pictures and released it to the internet. Or they tried to get rid of it and tried to have a ransom to, you know, whatever. And but they also released a whole bunch of other movies that were, you know, copyrighted movies that are now just free floating around on the internet if, you know, if you're in and not paying the $3 for whatever it is.
But do you always feel like if I save the $3, am I then going to get some kind of Korean computer virus? I feel like that's something that might happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's best to just... You know, it's just the best to not try and do that shit unless you really
play inside the system. Yeah,
because that WannaCry virus was extremely successful. You know, it made unknown amount of money, but it's, you know, in the millions of dollars it made. A lot of that stuff went through hospital systems and were basically encoding people's medical histories.
Okay,
so you know, it really did cause some serious issues. And made a lot of money for him. So that's all I got on the WannaCry virus. That's 2017.
All right.
So where are we at after that?
Well, I have some more modern stuff, but I don't know what you have in between. Well, all right. So more recently, and you can stop me when you come up with your next thing here in between. But more recently, you probably heard that, you know, the government got hacked, that it was, they said the FBI, the NSA. So it ended up being every branch of the military, the State Department, the White House, the NSA, 425 different Fortune 500 companies. Now, that's pretty good odds to get, you know, so pretty much anybody they wanted to get, they got, right? All the top five accounting firms in the U.S., hundreds of universities and colleges. It was actually all came about that it was the KGB, which actually is now the SVR. And I don't speak Russian, so I don't really know what SVR means, but it's the new version of the KGB. Basically hacked into a company called SolarWinds. That was a government contractor, and they're the ones who ended up. Now, here's the cool thing. Now, you guys have probably heard me mention, because I always found it to be an entertaining fact, that it used to be back in like the late 90s, early 2000, they say that 80% of all government passwords were the word password. And so whenever you have the internet security, you know, meeting, training at your company, they always kind of point that kind of thing out, like, hey, don't just make it stupid. You got to actually try like a little bit. So this company had
any sort of minor effort.
Right. So this company had their entire server. They had to come up with a password and they were like, well, we shouldn't just use password. So what should we do? They probably got together, had several meetings. What do we do for the password? And they were like, well, our company's called SolarWinds. What if we really mix it up and make our password SolarWinds123? Nailed it.
Don't you ever guess it? Do you remember?
And then the Russian hackers.
You remember Spaceballs, but his code is 1234?
Yeah. I know I kind of felt like they should have had a 4 on there, you know, but somehow I don't know how many hours it took, but Russia was able to crack this secret code and they were able to get in there. So anybody who you downloaded the corrupted, like, so they went in and they basically installed, you know, software on the SolarWinds server that anytime the customers download and installed the corrupted update between March and June, basically gave access to the entire network. Now you're saying, well, right, entire network, but Chuck, you just mentioned all five branches of the U.S. military, the State Department, the White House, the NSA, and all that might be a problem.
That's a big network.
How much did you really hear about that on the news? This was, let me get the date.
Yeah, it was like 3 months ago.
It was December 2020. Mm-hmm. December 23rd is when we heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which also makes you kind of wonder, you're like, wait a minute, between June and March, that's like 8 months.
Before they
alerted people. And if mm-hmm. they had gone to each of these companies and said, hey, you know, somebody hacked into your shit and whatever, I feel like it would have leaked out before December. So that means there's like an 8 month window that we had no idea. I mean, it may, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that it was like 6 months. And then we had a month of going, oh, fuck, what do we do now? Yeah. That kind of thing could have happened.
Right. In that amount of time, though, think of the amount of software and data you can download. You don't even have to read it all. You just keep downloading it, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, they would every time it connected with another user, you would get that username and password. So,
right,
you know, so it's not like one person is looking into all these different things, because that might be noticed. But you can just keep moving on to the next, to a different name and different user. And so that's why it went on so long without being noticed. And so you could just basically just download everything from the state, you know, what is a experimental weapon technology, trade, you know, you're trying to do some like trade talks. Well, now you know what the other person's already planning on, what they want and what they'll settle for, you know, all sorts of shit like that.
Now,
you know, so really, now, yeah, it really was embarrassing though to me.
It is embarrassing. So SolarWinds is pretty smart. And they deleted their customer list just so like it wasn't on the website. So you weren't like, oh, fuck, they got screwed. They got screwed, whatever. Right. And then.
Yeah, that's real salt problem solver right there.
Then they put out a statement that said fewer than 18,000 of our customers even installed this update with the.
Oh, yeah, that's hardly anybody.
So they're like, well, secretly, that means more than 17,000 people did install the update.
Right.
And then they're all, you know, they were able to get in there and they said at least, I don't know. Oh, and then let me see. The great majority of those were in the U.S., but networks in Canada, Mexico, Belgium, Spain, and the UK, Israel, UAE were also targeted with this virus. So they really, they basically were able to download just about everything. And I mean, we probably, the US Army or, you know, they probably don't have anything on their computer that we wouldn't want to share with Russia, right? I mean, we're probably good on that.
Anything on that, right? Okay. Nothing with the Pentagon.
I know that after, you know, the SEALs went and killed Osama bin Laden or whatever, I think Obama did it. I'm not really sure which one. But when they send somebody to kill Osama, I know that ISIS or whoever the hell it was at the time, I don't know what their name. Was it ISIS then? Or was it, did they have their previous name?
I think that was Al-Qaeda.
It was Al-Qaeda, right? Okay. So Al-Qaeda was like, hey, we want to find out who these SEALs were and we want to go kill their families. Mm-hmm. And they were down for paying for that information. Does us giving that kind of shit out on, would the Army have that kind of thing on their computer? I mean, is that possible? Navy?
I don't know. Who knows? The Navy ran the operation and the Navy got hacked. So I would assume that if I was SEAL Team 6, I would, you know, be a little bit concerned.
Of course, I think they were out like writing books or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be too hard to find out who they are.
Right. But, you know, I'm just saying, I just feel like our government doesn't do a lot. I know when way back, right when I got out of the military, the VA sent me a letter. Oh, you know, one of our employees took home a laptop and it had everybody's parents' names. So, you know, mother's maiden name, all that shit, your social security number, your name, your current address of every single person who's ever had a VA claim or even been put on the list of eligible veterans was all on one laptop, and the guy left it at a coffee shop and it was stolen. But they think whoever stole it didn't have any malicious intent and don't worry about it. Yeah. And I was like,
basically, like, it was probably just some thief. And now it's
and
just
criminals aren't known to do bad stuff with valuable information. So,
no, they don't. Yeah, exactly.
They,
so
they wouldn't be smart enough for that. But we are, since we think there's no risk at all, we are willing to buy you, you know, what is that, like LifeLock or something? It wasn't LifeLock, but it was some generic knockoff version.
Yeah, that shitty version we're willing
to buy you for a year.
Yeah. You know, it's the kind of company that says, hey, just to let you know, somebody emptied your bank account.
Yeah, you know, one of those. Just a heads
they
up.
Let you know that shit fucked up, but they don't fix anything. Or
I always feel like if I give another person my information, that's just one more vulnerable, you know, weak point. Right. You know, that's just one more place I'm out there. I did just recently listen to an audiobook called Surviving the Fall. And I know that was on like Audible and all that. And I'm not plugging Audible and we don't have a code for you or any crap like that. But anyway, it was all about like basically a computer virus. And it was kind of how America, we look at ways to destroy other countries. And we created a computer virus. And then somebody who hacked us didn't realize what they were doing and ended up releasing this self-replicating virus, you know, one of these worms on the world basically, and basically shut everything down. And it was pretty entertaining and whatever, but it's definitely a real threat. Not necessarily that I think, you know, that some virus is going to get out there and control every computer and whatever, but I do think that a country could get information and really utilize it to damage, hurt, or destroy our economy or disrupt our banking system, honestly, disrupt the power grid, disrupt the supply chain, all these different things. We're dependent on computers more and more. Very few people are self-reliant, have ways to provide for themselves. We're very interdependent. I think you all saw when coronavirus came that, you know, a lot of the companies, I work for a bigger company, and a lot of the companies, even if they were able to keep producing and doing their thing, a lot of the smaller suppliers were unable to fulfill their obligations, and it ended up slowing down and disrupting all the way up the chain, basically. And that's a real thing. So if you can disrupt the supply chain, it's a real threat to the country. And you need to be aware and prepare for such things. Just make sure that you can get the things that you need and take care of yourself. You know, I've seen companies that basically end up buying all their suppliers in order to control and ensure that they get the products and things you need. I mean, every step that you can take to make sure that you don't have a disruption and you're as close to the source, you know, the better off you're going to be. And that's really how you should be thinking as a prepper is, all right, well, I like, you know, eating cheese or whatever. So if I have a cow and can make milk and cheese and butter, then I'm right to the source. Now, do I have enough grass in my field to feed that cow? I don't know. But that's each step in the process is what you should be thinking about. You know, oh, I like to be able to shoot my guns. Ammo might get out of control and cost $1 a bullet. Maybe I should take the steps that, you know, I Chuck, need to either have bullets. No, that's crazy
that
talk. Right.
never going to run out of ammo.
That's the idea of being a prepper, is to be able to control your own, not be dependent on the supply chain or others, or have a network that's close. And the closer your network is to you, the more control you have over it. And it's really kind of the way you should run a country, the way you should run everything. It's fine to, you know, trade and interact with other countries. And there are certain things we can't get, like coffee or whatever here in America, where, you know, you have to create a network. But things that are essential to life and your family and you know, as you get more control, your comforts, you know, if you want one of these pillows that Kevin can get you, you know, that's something to think about, you know.
If you're interested in that, don't email me.
No. That sounded like they should be writing to preppingbadass@gmail.com.
Yeah. Now, and one of the things I think about when I think about these viruses and the damage they can cause, can you imagine what would have happened at the beginning of the COVID outbreak last year if the internet stopped working at the same time? People would lose their fucking minds. You know, if they weren't getting any information, they were told to lock down and they weren't getting any information, people would have, I mean, shit would have gone bad fast. Now, there's one like holy grail of cyber attack that hasn't ever happened before, but it's one of these things that if you kind of watch how things have been working lately, you'll see that there are companies or there are hacking groups that are involved in trying to infiltrate certain types of networks. And what a fire sale is, it's a three-prong attack. And basically it's you know, an attack on a country or a city or a place. And first thing they're going to do is it would be shut down all transportation systems, like traffic lights, railways, subways, airport systems, you know, that sort of stuff. Then they attack financial systems, like the stock exchange, banks, mortgage, you know, records, things like that. And then third, they would shut off public utilities like water and electric and things like that. And you could really cripple a country pretty fast if you were able to successfully attack all three of those things. Now, recently, somebody hacked into a water system. You might have heard this on the news. And they weren't able to do a whole lot to damage it. But what they did was increase the disinfection use. And that water system was running on hypochlorite, which is, it's basically liquid chlorine. Right. And they started turning the chlorine level up. Now, at 4 parts per million, chlorine in water can start being dangerous. But they were trying to bring it up to 11.1 parts per million, which is I mean, that would make you sick. It would
make you sick, but you're also going to smell it, and you're going to be aware when you turn on the faucet.
Right. If your water comes out smelling like bleach, don't drink it. But, you know, might ruin your clothes, you know, might, you know, if you're washing them in the washing machine,
it might do some stuff like that. You might not notice when you're washed. Right.
Right. But there are groups that are doing things like this, trying to figure out ways to infiltrate the power system and the utilities. And even China had found a lot of Chinese software in utility systems, just hypothetically, that could be used in the future. So what aren't they finding? What don't they know is sitting somewhere dormant until it needs to be used?
Right. So we actually found a website called the Center for Strategic and International Studies. They put out a report of significant cyber incidents. All right. Now, problem is, we were like, oh, we could talk about some of these, but when I downloaded it, it ended up being freaking ridiculous. I don't mean ridiculous like useless information. I mean, there's like 50 significant attacks every month. And so at the list, it's like, well, December, you know? Oh, December, there was 50 attacks. And they're all significant. Facebook announced that its users had been targeted by two hacking campaigns, one originating from state-sponsored Vietnamese hackers spreading malware, and the other from two nonprofit groups in Bangladesh focused on compromising accounts and coordinating and reporting of account and pages for removal. Like, so basically people who are putting things that they didn't find appropriate. I like that. That's kind of like they're doing Facebook's job for them. Yeah, is the way I feel. I mean, isn't that what Zuckerberg's really looking for?
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't he such a little fucking weirdo? Every time I see him, I'm like, nah, he's probably is a robot. He gets worse and worse. He's not getting better.
But, yeah. No, he's disturbing. But that's it. It's just be aware that this is another potential disruption that could continually affect us. And, you know, when people say, oh, you know, Russia's trying to influence the election and things like that, you know, I don't know. And I don't have any evidence to suggest that, you know, voter machines get messed up with or whatever. But to think that they're not spreading hate and propaganda throughout Facebook and all these things is really naive.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's definitely happening. And, and you know, it's like, it's not very expensive to back up your shit. You know, it's books are really cheap right now. You know, if you're worried about, you know, losing your information, back it up or, you know, get some of the prepping books that, you know, stuff that you would normally have to look up. Oh, you know, what's the right time to plant this seed or what's the right time to, you know, what kind of this should I get? You can figure that stuff out now ahead of time in case something does happen. You know, you can have backup information on stuff that's important.
That's so we become so dependent on our phones and our internet and our, well, I could just look on YouTube. Of course I could start a fire in the woods in the rain, you know, YouTube will show me in a minute. The perfect shelter, it's on YouTube. Don't worry about it. Well, that's all true. But, and then I would even take it one further. You might have stuff on your computer that you care about. And, you know, around Black Friday and really anytime, you can buy a 500 gig hard drive or a terabyte hard drive, $70, $60. I don't know. They're not that expensive. If you had something super valuable, like you hosted a podcast about survival and that kind of stuff, and you didn't want to lose all that information, it's almost a little bit foolish to not back it up on a hard drive every now and again and make sure that the resources and things you need to keep things going are still available to you. So just think about protecting yourself and your information.
And, you know, everybody has – another thing is everybody has, you know, compared to 40 years ago, everybody has a million pictures. Everyone's got a camera in their pocket and all that sort of stuff. But how many pictures do you actually get developed? I mean, if you lose your Facebook account, how many pictures are you going to lose? If you lose your access to your computer, how many pictures are you going to lose? You're not going to even have a record of your kid growing up because you didn't print any of those pictures out.
You know? How many of you have an old phone stuck in a drawer because you're like, oh, well, I have pictures on there. I can't get rid of it, you know, or the old computer or whatever. And that's the thing. I mean, people have this giant, you know, supply of things that you consider valuable. And maybe pictures aren't what's valuable to you. Maybe it's information. Maybe it's your favorite playlist from the 80s. And they don't even make those CDs anymore. And they never made it to iTunes. I don't know. I don't know what you're into. But, you know, that's the thing. So take care of your information. Take care of your stuff. And come up with a plan to protect yourself if the world isn't always there, you know? If it's not the way you expect it to be. That's the thing. People become complacent and just let life happen to them. And it's your job as a prepper to kind of think about what might be coming next and what might, you know, affect your family. It's your job as a man or as a head of a household kind of thing to take care of your family. You know, you're responsible. And you should be accountable for you. And, you know, you can't complain about the government and all these things if you're not able to take care of yourself. Because somebody's got to step up if you're not doing it. So with that, you know, hey, you guys enjoyed this. You can leave a review wherever you downloaded this podcast. You can get in touch with us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Maybe if you're enjoying it, you might head over to patreon.com/preppingbadass and you can support us. And we have some neat patches that we're still waiting on another shipment to come in. But when they do, we have a few people we still owe some to, and we're going to try and get those out to you. And, you know, hey, if it's something you want to support, get behind it. Also, if you go to preppingbadass.com, we have some t-shirts and cool gear available, some sweatshirts, some cool banners, all kinds of fun stuff with the logo on there. And anyway, that's all available. Maybe check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/preppingbadass. Otherwise, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
A life that has the stories to back it, a life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby, 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.